The natural instinct is to do that which is right. And I'm going to explain that today. You will find out that God only speaks dramatically when otherwise we would not have done what he wants us to do. Do you get the point I am making? I explained that last week. I'm going to develop that issue of common sense further today. That there is a way by which God expects us to walk every day as children of God. And what he's doing is building us up to the level where we are naturally people that think like God. That is, if we are to think for God, that's why Paul would say things like this. I do not have a specific commandment concerning this. However, I have the Spirit of God. And that's what this will of God thing is. The mistake people make, do you follow? Is that they think that this is how it works. God must give you a commandment. God must command you concerning every step you take. Then you are walking in the will of God. It doesn't always work like that. You don't always have a dramatic manifestation before you step into what God wants you to step into. A young woman came to me once. She said, Pastor Banky, how do I know my ministry? I said, what do you mean? Wait, confess. What do you know how to do? She told me. Do it now. You will discover your calling along the line. Don't worry, I don't know how else to say. You want to choose names. Am I an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, or helps, ministry of helps, or gifts of healings, or am I he that give it? Wait. God will put something in your path. Eventually, you will discover what you know how to do. Do you understand my point? He will lead you in the path of righteousness by his own namesake. As we go on, we see the different methods by which people God leads people. To lead just means to be guided into the proper place. Are you getting what I mean? And Joseph was guided into the proper place by hatred. Are you following what I mean? There are people who have stepped into destiny because somebody didn't like them and therefore sacked them. Okay? And because of that, they were forced to move to another place. And in moving, was when they found themselves in the center of God's will. Please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense here. I want us to get this in out of the mystical. You don't have to practice yoga. You cross your leg and do meditation. So that at the end of the day, God will speak to you. You know, God is very good at that. He will disappoint you very well. No, really. Most of the time, even those days that I prayed and God spoke, go and ask them. Most of the time they prayed. Nobody said anything. They got tired and they went and did what was reasonable. I'm trying to get the emphasis right to us as believers. Let's leave the dramatic out. Let's leave that which is romantic and phenomenal. When those things will happen, again, we'll talk about that one also, they will happen without our prompting. Do you follow me? Listen, I don't agree that for an average believer, you need to go and settle down and learn how to hear the Spirit of God. I don't believe in it. It is taught widely. People try to persuade us to learn it, but I don't agree. This is what I have come to understand. Every child of God should learn how to obey that which is revealed. Do you follow my point? Every child of God should build himself up in his walk with God. You should get to know God closer every day. You should get to know God better every day. How? And that is simply by feeding yourself with knowledge and with understanding. Do you understand what I'm saying? When it is time to pray, child of God, pray. When it is time to study, study. When it is time to do good works, do good works. When it is time to flee youthful lust, flee youthful lust. Do you follow what I'm going to say? That's all you need to do. Then when God wants to talk to people, he knows when to call them and how to call them. He shouted, Samuel, 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 on the Samuel finally head. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. Please, we'll develop this thing properly. For a man, a young woman who is walking with God. And when I say walking with God, it is not, Father God, as I'm going out this morning, where do you want me to go? Listen, if you don't know where to go, you know what you should do? Sit at home. I'm serious about it. Let's not turn ourselves to, crazy fellows, odd people. I remember once I told a brother to come and do something. I said, let him go and sit down and pray in my mind. Listen, bro. You are greedy, we do it. This one you are praying before you come and fulfill your commitment. I don't get the point. Now, listen. We'll develop this, but I'm just trying to remind us of the things that we are trying to do, okay? And then let's quickly look at the things that we have already seen. We have discussed what grace is. I'm not going to remind us of all these things in details. We know what grace is. We say it's the power of God that's manifested to help us get results as long as we are walking with God and we're obeying Him. Grace is not just a matter of unmerited favor, but that we are able to get results walking in life by using the power of God. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You understand that? We have understood that. And I explained that there is a place in which somebody walks in life. It's called the rest of God. All right? The person dwells in that spiritual climate, and the grace of God is made available to him automatically. All right? And I said that when we read from Psalm 1, that the man who doesn't sit, stand, or walk in the counsel of the ungodly, the wicked, the scoffers, the scornful, and all of that, now that's the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. It's as he delights, okay, that thing leads him. The very thing that he loves tells him where he goes and where he doesn't go. Because he meditates there in day and night, it automatically guides him away from the seat of the scornful. It automatically guides him from walking in the way of the wicked. It's automatic, just because the guy loves the law of the Lord. Are you getting my point? And I said that law of the Lord, there are two sides to it. There is the reveals that we all know. Thou shalt not steal. All right? Prefer one another in love. All right? God loves a cheerful giver. These are basic things that everybody knows. But there are specific laws. He said, thy law is within my heart. That is, there is something that God has wired you to do. Therefore, you automatically respond when the opportunity comes to do such things. Please, get that point. We're going to look at it further in detail. I'm just trying to introduce this into us again. Now, I said to start today's on air, let's read two scriptures. Because I said I was going to continue this issue of common sense. Please, it's the will of God we are trying to learn. The book of James, chapter 1, we'll start from that. Let's just start from verse 2, though where I'm going is verse 5. So, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials or fall into diverse temptations, King James says. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Please notice the word faith, endurance, and testing, and the result. But I may refer to that later. But let me go get down to verse 5. He said, But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let me just stop there, all right? What I want to bring out from there is what? If any man lacks wisdom. Now, please bear that in mind and quickly open again to Romans chapter 12. From verse 1, it says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be, this important part here, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. Are you seeing that? That you may prove or discover by experience what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and what? Perfect. Now, I'm going to examine these two scriptures in depth today. I doubt whether we'll go anywhere else apart from these two. But I'm hoping that at the end of the day, you really get my point. We have to go over this thing front and back every way so that Christians will get the point. Is that okay? And please, we don't need some of these spiritual gymnastics that we practice. There are those who don't make decisions except the prophet says it's wrong. Everything you want to do in life, you have to go and lay it before a prophet. It is not New Testament principle at all. Let us get this very clear. A lot of us grow up under such circumstances. We don't make decisions until a prophet has heard about it and he has prayed about it and has shown us the will of God concerning it. Listen to me and hear it clearly. That is not divine order for the believer in Christ Jesus. You may have seen experiences in which it works good for the people. But let's understand God very well. All right? That is a very kind person. What am I trying to explain? Sometimes in the ignorance of our childhood, all right, we don't know enough as believers to be able to solve some problems. And when we take some of these not accurate steps, God seems to just oblige us occasionally. But listen, that is not the proper order. You say, what is the proper order? Let me give it to you simply. You do what seems good to you, haven't prayed about it. You don't need the word of any prophet. You don't need to go and lay your plans down before a prophet and say, check whether it's the will of God. Most, number one, serious men of God don't answer such questions. They can pray with you. Now, if you have legitimate questions, that is the job of pastors. Now, let me explain what I say. There are times you have a conflict. I'm going to explain that now from this scripture we have read. And you don't have an answer. So you go and ask for understanding. Do you get what I'm saying? And then somebody who knows the word of God, not pray and find out whether God is saying, no. He just hears simply. And by his understanding of spiritual things, gives you counsel. And you add that to what you know already, and you come out with a good decision. That's how Christians are supposed to live. Now, please, let me explain something. You know, because here, Paul said here, that you may prove what the will of God is. As a matter of fact, God has a plan for every situation. You will be amazed if I said this, but it's actually true. Down to what you eat for breakfast. But how many times have you bothered to ask, Lord, should I fry the egg or boil it? You enter the kitchen. As you're about to boil the egg, say, don't take when I eat fried egg last though. Quam into the frying pan. You have just fried the egg according to the will of God. I'm very serious about what I'm saying. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. See, let me first, before I even go on further, let me remind us of what the will of God is actually. When we say the will of God, if you've not read that book, go and read a copy. That's what is God's will here. The will of God is not that which is good, that is to my flesh. The will of God is not necessarily that which makes me more money. When a young woman says, Pastor, I'd like to know the will of God for my marriage, that who should I marry? Most people, and that's what you see, it changes with time as people develop what they really have in their minds and want to get it correct into people's hearts. When an average lady tells you that, like maybe just meet somebody and you're chatting, say, yeah, Pastor, please pray for me. I don't know who to marry. What they are saying, most of the time, listen, they have meaning. Now, words have meaning. The meaning of what they are saying is not just, who should I marry? Per se, what they are saying affects that. That bro is broke now. But Pastor, do you think he will become rich? I'm serious. I'm very serious. I don't know. Some of these brothers, these, they go and marry second wives after 22 years of marriage. Do you think this guy likes to marry a second wife? Pastor, he's already rich, but... Are you sure he will let me continue going to church? Because I know he's not a Christian, so I'm not even asking you about that. But do you think he will let me continue going to church? These are the little questions they're asking. They're saying that which one is the will of God? When your brother says that, which job should I take now? You know what they're saying is that which one is the will of God? What it means is, Pastor, I have two offers. This one, they're going to start me on this particular level, level 12. This one starting me on level 9. But I think that this level 9, they will promote me faster. I will soon get to 15. But this level 12 one, it will be like a man go stagnate for a while. But the money is good presently. Please, Pastor, pray. Which one is the will of God? You know what he means? Which one eventually will promote us faster, get more cash, and man go set to build a house, you know, fast? Say, let us pray. I shock about. Father, reveal your will. God say, my will. You are not even talking to me. Now, do you follow what I'm saying? No, you see, you can ask for something. Jesus told James and John, you don't know what you're asking for. Are you getting my point? One brother, we were talking the other day. He said a man came that when he was working with Pastor Paul at the Pharisee. And one brother rushed and met them and said, sir, he gave Pastor Paul, you know, a gift. And then the dinner said, could he pray for him that he wants double portion of his anointing? And that one prayed generally and left. And told the guy they were working together, I said, he asked for the double portion of my anointing. He said, I didn't ask that for him. He said, because double portion of my anointing is double portion of my troubles. I don't think I handle it. James and John came and said, want to sit on the left and on the right. Jesus said, this boy is doing the meaning of left and right. He said, to get there, you have to go through what I'm going to go through. He said, are you ready? Foolish boys. Instead of saying that, okay, explain the details. They just said, we are ready. They did not even have an idea of what he was going to go through. They said they were ready. Are you ready for the exam? Yes, I'm ready. You've not even asked which kind of exam. Are they teaching engineering mathematics? Or is it history of European civilization? You get my point? You don't know what the exam is about. You say, we are ready. And that's the way it is. People sometimes ask for things they don't know the importance, the magnitude of the content of what they're asking for. A lot of people, and that's the major thing. That's when I wrote that little book. That's what I tried to emphasize. When we say the will of God, we must first get something clear. All right? When we say the will of God, we must first get it clear what we are saying. Are we talking like God, or we are talking according to our flesh? That is why the question, what is God's will, changes for people as they mature in life. The young lady I'm talking about, let's assume she gives her life to Christ properly and begins to love the Lord. Next time she's praying about the will of God, she wants a man that will really help her in the walk with God. Will he be rich or poor becomes secondary. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? She's redefining the will of God. But the proper definition for God's will, the ultimate definition, is simple. It means that God has a recorded plan for your life. Before you were born, God knew you. Before you were born, God consecrated you to be something. He spoke to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. He said, I consecrated you to be a prophet. Before you were born, I knew you. While you were being formed in your mother's womb, I called you. That's the will of God. It has nothing to do with his spiritual, like, will I be a great spiritual giant? Or will I become a rich man? That's besides the point. What it just means is that I was created to be something. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what it means. I was created to be something. And I want to discover that which I was created to be. Therefore, what's the proper thing? The young man says, which job should I take? It's not the one I'll be promoted in fastest, or the one I won't be promoted in fastest. It's that, God, I know that before I was born, you created me to do something. Which one of these is leading me in the path of what I am supposed to become? Are you getting the point I'm making? So when we're talking about the will of God, and let me tell you something, that's why God doesn't always reveal it the way we think he should. Because the path he chooses for us sometimes doesn't make sense. Joseph dreamt. Very good. Did he know what the dream meant? No, he had no idea. He just woke up one morning and I dreamt. What did you dream? I dreamt that we were all in the field. And we made sheaves, you know. We just bundled our, you know, wheat after harvesting everything. We put them down. And all your own were just bowing down to my own. And the older brothers, like Reuben, said, you are a very stupid boy. I always knew you didn't have respect. You know what it means? I didn't ask to dream the dream now. They forgot that one. Then they woke up laughing again. They said, what is this time? This time, right, not grass. It's not grass that's bowing down. It's moon, sun, and 12 stars, 11 stars. And I said, this boy, I know it's getting... Now, they had understanding. They had interpretation for it. His father had interpretation for it. But he didn't know what was going on. Do you follow the point I'm making? No, he didn't know what was going on. I'm bringing out something. Let us even assume he knew what was going on. So you're going to be a ruler. You know what will have happened? Think about us today. You say, this boy is going to be a ruler. Now, boy, read well for Jambo. Read political science and international relations. Quickly reads it. Do you follow the points? And then from there, it's MSCP. Go and work with the government, enter civil service, want to go. Finally, they will even work you till you get to command and staff, call a judge, prepare you to be a leader. And God said, that's not exactly the method I want to use. You know what's going to happen? This boy is spoiled. His father loves him. He works for his father a bit. But the boy never knows what they call hard life. His father has transported the love he had for his mother onto his head. It's all right. What do we do? Let's strip him away of all this comfort. Let us bring out the giant that's within him. How do we do it? Remove his cloth. What else do you think? So they remove his cloth. On his way to the throne, they had to remove his cloth. So what is he doing on level ground? Throw him down. So he first went downwards. Are you getting what I'm saying? He didn't just start climbing, which is what we would have tried to do. He first went where? Downwards into the pit. And he looked like he was going to die. That was the plan. Then when he was down there, I can imagine. No, I like to add things together. Just like Jonah, he prayed. From the belly of the earth, this man probably also prayed. And God sent deliverance. And they said, let us sell him. Why kill him for nothing? Let's get some money. And they sold him. He was on his way to the first university of training. But not the way you and I would have prepared it. Do you understand my point? So he went down in as a slave. A prince went down as what? A slave, and began to serve. With that, God was honing his skills, teaching him this. This is how they manage food in the house. You don't just eat food anyhow. If it is excess, you do it like this. When his master saw how skilled he was in managing the house, he put everything in his charge. And after that, God said, good, let's give him, because I've been teaching him over the years, let's start testing him. All right? Kola Iwosu told me then, I want to listen to him, he was preaching somewhere, talked about the law of boundaries. That everything God gives you in life has boundaries. They put in the Garden of Eden. You can eat everything but this one. You must recognize the law of boundaries. So they put everything in that house in charge of him. He said, let's see whether he has understood which of the trees he can't eat. Then one day, Mrs. Potiphar came. You know the rest of the story. And he said, no, my boundaries. This one is outside the boundaries. I can't do this and sin against God. God said, very fine. Now he's qualified, listen, for the postgraduate course. That this guy is now qualified for what? Postgraduate. Do you know if he has slept with Mrs. Potiphar, he would have failed there, but he would have settled down in Potiphar's house for longer. Maybe eventually, listen, you know, Potiphar would have, there are a number of ways. He could have been judged by God harshly and all of that. Most likely he would have died somewhere along the line, but let's even leave that. Maybe one day after he has worked so much, Potiphar will now settle him. Let this boy go. They return to his father's house or tabernacle in Egypt, a successful businessman. Traveling between Egypt and Canaan. You know what I'm saying? Doing good business. And they say, Baba, man, look, listen, in life, oh, small compromise is not bad. Oh. See, Joseph would have just died for nothing. See, is it not just sleep with small Mrs. Potiphar? Who knew about it? Look at him. He's not doing well now. Like Pastor Poju said, you know what you have gained, but you don't know what you lost. Do you understand the point? He will know what he gained, but what he lost is one thing he will never be aware of. And that's why I said, don't give me testimony about results. Let us first sit down, what? On principles. Let's build our lives on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. You are getting the point. All right, so in Joseph's case, that's it. The next place he went was, he went down again as a prisoner. And then he did very well, passed the postgraduate course. And then God left him with one last disappointment to teach him the issues of life, because he said that, you know, that you may prove what the will of God is, you must come to understand it. He helped a man, a powerful man, a minister of the Federal Republic. He helped him. The man went back to ministerial office. He didn't remember him. Wicked soul. We will think. But God, I just want you to understand that your deliverance is not with man. Because one day, this is one thing I want to tell you. That night when he went to sleep, before he went to sleep, he suddenly felt that something's going to happen tomorrow. And he began to pray. And he paced up and down. And spoke in Syrian tongue. He spoke in Japanese tongue. He spoke in Chinese tongue. Spoke all kinds of languages in tongues. Praying to the Father. Saying that tomorrow is my deliverance. Is that what happened? Around nonsense. What happened? He went to sleep as usual. No special prayer. Nothing. He didn't wake up with a twitch in his eye. Knowing that something good is going to happen today. He woke up as usual. Do you follow me? He woke up as usual and went about his business as usual. And then along the line, they heard noises outside. What he didn't know that is all the while, Pharaoh wasn't sleeping well. Do you follow my point? In the last few days, they have been talking. Oga didn't sleep well. He's calling all the magicians and the conjurers. They have tried their best to interpret this dream. Nobody can interpret it. While Joseph was there doing his thing, along the line, he heard chariots arrive outside. Why the chariots come? Because the man that forgot him suddenly remembered him when he was most needed. Are you getting my point? That's it. God set it up. The Bible says that the king sent for him and loosed him. And they walked in there. Who is Joseph here? There he is, sir. He said, finally, Potiphar has remembered me. I'm dead. Maybe he thought so. I don't know what God was going through his mind. Then they looked at him and said, why is beard long like this? Shave the guy. Dressing up properly. What is going on? We are going to see Pharaoh himself. And of course, until he got to the presence of Pharaoh, he had no idea what was going on. All this while, was in the will of God? Yes, he was. What did God ever say to him? Nothing. Nothing. That's why God doesn't reveal everything. If he did, Joseph would have thought he needed to go to university. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, look, you know the way David said it? Let's quickly read that again, Psalm 139. Just quickly, just for a moment. I want to just read about this will of God again, that this God had a plan for your life before you were born. From verse 15, he said, My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me. Notice that. That's what I want to bring out here. And in thy book they were all written. That is, those days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. That is, the prison the man entered didn't take God by surprise. It was part of the training that he ordained for him. Do you get my point? Listen, don't ever forget to accept everything in life with thanksgiving. When we say God is wise, he's the only wise God. Let me tell you, the way he works, this is very, very interesting. Even when it appears like all you have done is made mistakes, the day you reconcile with God and start giving him thanks for mistakes, do you get my point? It will appear as if those were the proper things to have done. And it's not if you are deceiving yourself, because God knows how to plot the course of life from that point back into the center of his will. I hope what I'm saying is making sense here. Listen, the will of God is not just what feels good. The will of God is that which brings me into the center of his destiny for my life. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. The will of God is not that which I... You know, that's why I told you that, look, I am tired of testimonies that, praise God, brethren, it works. I gave out my shoe, now I have two caps. Let me tell you, there are times you give out your shoe and you go barefoot for the next 1 year and God never remembers that he doesn't have shoe again. So the testimony is it doesn't work. No, that is nonsense. You cannot say that. I mean, it doesn't mean that once I take... Look, the Bible talks about faith. Some by faith got up and went to the palace. Like Joseph, by faith, by people like Moses, left the palace and went to dwell among slaves. Let me ask you a question. Was Moses in the wilderness for 40 years in accordance with the will of God? Let me answer it quickly before you give me wrong theology. Yes. Oh God, as we go now, I'll explain some things. It is not possible. This is why God doesn't give visions all the time. That's why he won't give you the details of your life, because you will mess it up trying to obey it. You will mess it up trying to obey it. I had a man preach once. He said, if only he had known what he knows now about his life, there's going to be a preacher. That what was he doing in a foreign university studying a professional course? He would have gone to a theological seminary. I told myself that this man, you don't know anything yet. I know you are preaching, but you still don't get the point. That is how you will have never become a preacher. You think that would have been the path to preaching. But that is what will have crippled your ability to preach. That one of the reasons why you are preaching as hard as you are preaching now is because you went to study a secular course university, and during that process, God was able to reach you, touch you, teach you. He allowed you to fall. You thought you were strong. He allowed you to forgive you all the problems, allowed all the wild into your life. Then he called you one day. If you had gone to a theological seminar and become a guru with a doctor of divinity, you probably have been too headstrong for God. He would not be able to teach you any revelation. Sometimes when I'm talking to people, you know, I tell them that, look, I studied medicine as a first degree. I said it helps me to teach the word of God better. There's a revelation I teach from James. I want to talk about corresponding actions of faith that I've never heard anybody else teach. Do you get my point? And I'm persuaded the only reason why I was able to understand that thing was because I learned how to certify people dead as part of my professional work. So hear me explain that about dead faith and living faith. Without being a doctor, it would have been hard to explain that thing. Do you get my point? The will of God, listen, God doesn't always tell stories. My son, this is where we are going. So, once he says it like that, you plot the path for getting there according to human knowledge. So you know what he does? He doesn't tell you anything. He says, walk with me and be perfect. That's all. That when I move you to any junction in life, do what I have revealed to you is the correct thing to do. What is it revealed to you? Didn't you go to church? No, forget church first. Didn't your parents teach you basic morals as a child? You learned it. You started reading the Bible as you were growing up, you were learning stuff. You kept on learning this, hearing this, here and there. All those little things, use them each time. It is when they fail you. Now let's get back to our text. It is when they fail you that you begin to pray and you start asking for what? Wisdom. What did he say in James? He said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. Now, what is the meaning of the word wisdom? Now, wisdom is defined, I've read it here and there defined, as the ability to make sound judgment, all right? Or the ability to use knowledge profitably. That's what wisdom is. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, please bear that in mind. Now, he said, if any man lacks wisdom, what was he saying? He wasn't talking about somebody who doesn't have any sense at all. He was saying that you go about in life and you have to make decisions every time. And look, that's how life is. You wake up in the morning, you make a decision to get up. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, there are times you realize you needed to make a decision to get up. You know how? You wake up and you have a headache. You don't get up immediately. You lie down some more. Do you understand? Hoping the headache will go away. And you start reasoning what is the cause of this headache. Okay, I slept at 3 a.m. and it's just 5:30. I can't get up yet. So you decide to go back to sleep. Do you understand my point? What's happening is that you are using the knowledge of facts, all right, to make a decision. You know that headache for you is a sign that body needs rest. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, every time you have to make a decision in life, I said on the last time, that there's what is called common sense. And what we call common sense generally, okay, is just that there are basic information that is available to everybody. So we assume that everybody should have that information and use them to make decisions. So you are leaving your house. You live in this part of this kind of geography, that this kind of climatical area, you know what I mean? The climate in this particular area, you know how it is. It rains. So you know this is rainy season. You are leaving your house. You don't shut your windows. You have books on the floor. You understand my point? You just go out to work. And when you come back, you are the whole place is flooded. In fact, let us forget you said. Let's assume that you have a younger brother, a cousin, or somebody living in your house. And he left it like that. You now come back. You see the guy everywhere trying to mop the floor, scoop water. Your books are soaked. What do you say? Didn't your common sense tell you to shut the window when you were going out? What do you mean by that? You know it's rainy season. You know rain in this season doesn't give warning. It's not as if the clouds are gathering. You can leave your house and the sun is shining as bright as it can ever be. Before you get to the office, it's raining cats, dogs, elephants, hippopotamus, and everything. It doesn't give warning. That's what you call common sense. You are used to the basic information. So anytime you are leaving your house, you shut the windows, even though the sun is up. That's why I explained last time that what you call common depends on what information is common to you. Do you get my point? What you call common sense. And that's why I said God expects the Christian to walk day by day using what? Common sense. Because certain kinds of information are supposed to be common to the believer. Do you get my point? Now, I won't belabor that point too much. But at least you've got what I'm going to say. They're general principles. That's what I talked about last time. Being obedient to that which is already revealed. You don't need prayer about such things. The word of God is clear about them. You know what to do. But there are times in which all the information you have, you put it together and you yourself know you cannot make a decision with full assurance. Are you getting the point I'm making? And like I always say, if you are not sure, you are not sure. It is not faith to say, even though I'm not sure, I'm going to do it. That is stupidity. That is madness. That is presumption. In fact, that is foolishness. If you are not sure, you are not sure. And I told you before that that's one of the things you do with prayer. That you pray until you become what? Sure. That's how it goes. Listen, I told you that I have friends who considered marriage proposals for a year and a half. They lost the guy seriously. The only problem is that there are issues that they couldn't make decisions concerning with assurance. And that's what Christians do. They pray and pray. That's what Christians do. And God answers you. This is how God answers. There are different ways he answers. One of the ways, I believe the commonest, is to give you information you did not have before. Are you getting what I'm saying? It gives you what? Information you didn't know was available. Information that once you get, suddenly everything ties together. Suddenly the puzzle makes sense. You get the point I'm trying to make here. That's how God does it. The second way he does it, that sometimes he just infuses into you the spirit of faith. There's another way he does it. And now, this is the interesting part. We'll come down to this one later. That is when, the third way, which I'm mentioning now, is that that's when he oftentimes uses what? Strange manifestations. Listen to me. It is not easy to get up and go to the road and go and marry a harlot. Any man who does this, something's wrong with his head. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, every time you have to make a decision in life, I said on the last time, that there's what is called common sense. And what we call common sense generally, okay, is just that there are basic information that is available to everybody. So we assume that everybody should have that information and use them to make decisions. So you are leaving your house. You live in this part of this kind of geography, that this kind of climatical area, you know what I mean? The climate in this particular area, you know how it is. It rains. So you know this is rainy season. You are leaving your house. You don't shut your windows. You have books on the floor. You understand my point? You just go out to work. And when you come back, you are the whole place is flooded. In fact, let us forget you said, let's assume that you have a younger brother, a cousin, so somebody living in your house, and he left it like that. You now come back. You see the guy everywhere trying to mop the floor, scoop water, your books are soaked. What do you say? Didn't your common sense tell you to shut the window when you were going out? What do you mean by that? You know it's rainy season. You know rain in this season doesn't give warning. It's not as if the clouds are gathering. You can leave your house and the sun is shining as bright as it can ever be. Before you get to the office, it's raining cats, dogs, elephants, hippopotamus, and everything. It doesn't give warning. That's what you call common sense. You are used to the basic information. So anytime you are leaving your house, you shut the windows, even though the sun is up. That's why I explained last time that what you call common depends on what information is common to you. Do you get my point? What you call common sense. And that's why I said God expects the Christian to walk day by day using what? Common sense. Because certain kinds of information are supposed to be common to the believer. Do you get my point? Now, I won't belabor that point too much. But at least you've got what I'm trying to say. They're general principles. That's what I talked about last time. Being obedient to that which is already revealed. You don't need prayer about such things. The word of God is clear about them. You know what to do. But there are times in which all the information you have, you put it together and you yourself know you cannot make a decision with full assurance. Are you getting the point I'm making? And like I always say, if you are not sure, you are not sure. It is not faith to say, even though I'm not sure, I am going to do it. That is stupidity. That is madness. That is presumption. In fact, that is foolishness. If you are not sure, you are not sure. And I told you before that that's one of the things you do with prayer. That you pray until you become what? Sure. That's how it goes. Listen, I told you that I have friends who considered marriage proposals for a year and a half. They loved the guy seriously. The only problem is that there are issues that they couldn't make decisions concerning with assurance. And that's what Christians do. They pray and pray. That's what Christians do. And God answers you. This is how God answers. There are different ways he answers. One of the ways, I believe the commonest, is to give you information you did not have before. Are you getting what I'm saying? It gives you what? Information you didn't know was available. Information that once you get, suddenly everything ties together. Suddenly the puzzle makes sense. You get the point I'm trying to make here. That's how God does it. The second way he does it, that sometimes he just infuses into you the spirit of faith. There's another way he does it. And now, this is the interesting part. We'll come down to this one later. That is when, the third way, which I'm mentioning now, is that that's when he oftentimes uses what? Strange manifestations. Listen to me. It is not easy to get up and go to the road and go and marry a harlot. Any man who does this, something's wrong with his head.